Om Namah Shivaya. This talk is about how to make use of yoga to heal addictions. And the way we heal addictions in yoga is through the practice of self-surrender, and it has a lot to do with how the mind works. We know that the mind is full of waves, thought waves. And when a thought wave shows up, it projects something into your mind that is external to you, and you run after this external thing because you believe, wrongly, that your thoughts are you. When you believe that your thoughts are you, you identify with your thoughts and you grow attached to them, and the thoughts will start to repeat themselves. You need to detach yourself from your thoughts. As long as you are not detached, you will believe that you are at the mercy of your habitual thought patterns or addictions and that they are you. But when you detach yourself from the mind and your thoughts, then you'll be able to dwell on your true self, on that existence or that consciousness that is you. So even though thoughts may come and ripple across the surface of your mind, the fact that you do not identify with them or take them seriously means that you can remain content in yourself. The thoughts will then have no energy to stir themselves up, so they will just subside. So the first tool in healing an addictive pattern of behavior is detachment. Through detachment, you can free yourself from repeating patterns that cause your suffering. Through practicing detachment, you will understand that the thoughts that you have in your mind have caused your suffering. We usually think our suffering is caused by someone or something external to ourselves. But the truth is, we create our own suffering by entertaining certain thoughts in our mind. We don't examine our thoughts or reflect on their nature. I make it sound very easy, but the problem is that we sometimes get stuck in our negative thought patterns, and it's these negative thought patterns that create addictions. Many people suffer from addictions because the mind is by nature addictive. What does that mean? It means that if you think about something one time, then you will very likely think about it a second time. And if you think about it a second time, you will probably think about it a third time, and then a fourth, a fifth time, and so on, until you get stuck into a groove of thinking about this thing. That's just how the mind works, by developing habits and sticking with them. The mind is just a bundle of habits. So the way to get out of those habits is to replace them. Replace the negative thought habits with positive thought habits. Think of a smoker who has a lot of problems ending his smoking habit, but he manages it because he replaces his cigarettes with chewing gum. Every time he thinks of smoking, he takes a bit of chewing gum and chews. That method works for a lot of people. So similarly, when a negative thought comes, stop a moment and replace it with a positive thought instead. Addictions are negative habits and negative mind patterns. They come about because a lot of people feel they have to do something every time they feel empty or stressed about a situation. They might reach for a drink, a cigarette, or a chocolate bar. It's like a nervous response. But then it becomes a habit, and the drink or cigarette or chocolate bar or whatever is turned into an addiction. Many things cause addictions, and the repetitive mechanism of the mind is one. The mind loves to repeat itself, and we must endeavor to stay detached from repetitive thoughts so that the grooves they create don't get deep. There is a saying that says, "Don't sweat the small stuff." And what that means is, don't let little things become big things in your mind, because if you do, they will just become bigger and bigger and bigger. For example, somebody might say something to you that is unkind. Just let it be. Don't dwell on it. If you start to dwell on it, then the thoughts you are creating about that little unkind comment will become huge, and you begin to think that the person is your worst enemy. Then you become stressed and angry and resentful, not because of the comment itself, but because you thought about it too much and let it get out of proportion. Sometimes in life, you encounter negative situations that affect you and sink into your mind. That's why we must observe the mind constantly to make sure none of these difficult experiences leave too deep an impression. Only the good stuff should be allowed to sink in, not the other stuff. But people sometimes don't pay attention, so certain difficulties or emotionally challenging situations create an imprint in the mind. You might be wondering why challenging things happen to you. Well, in the journey of life, you are a student, and you are being molded by the divine, and things happen so that you can be molded into a better person. So when difficult things happen, it's just an opportunity for you to learn. However, sometimes you don't learn, and you develop instead a negative emotional reaction that you get yourself stuck in. That's what happens when you just cannot move on from something. Perhaps you lost someone you love, or someone did something very unkind to you. You question why and why and why continually, and emotionally you remain grieving or stuck in a negative groove. What people often do in that situation is start to look desperately for ways to relieve themselves from that emotional negative memory, and that could lead to addiction. For example, you might start drinking. You have this emotional problem, your mind is stuck, you have no connection with yourself, and you have no strength or will. Then that bad memory or negative feeling will begin to consume you, so that you have even less will, less strength, less discrimination. You just drop your hands down and say, whatever. What's the point of struggling? What's the point of trying to be a good person? What's the point of disciplining and controlling anything? I'm going to go and just drink myself to death. And once you have developed a tendency towards self-destruction, it easily gets repeated and becomes a habit. And even if you get to a point where the negative memory has faded and you are drinking less, guess what? There will be another difficult situation that will come up and confront you. That's how life is. And because you emotionally crash the first time and reach for something external to prop you up, your addiction, you are likely, in the face of this new crisis, to go down the same path of addiction and collapse. That's why in yoga we don't let you collapse. We train you not to collapse. In yoga, when you hold a posture, we make you hold it and hold it. And though you may hate your teacher, he or she will make you hold that posture. Breathe and relax into it, even though you want to do the exact opposite. Holding your body will help you to learn to hold your emotions and your mind. You need to learn this control, because otherwise, if you collapse one time and start to follow addictive habits, then you are likely to collapse the next and the next. But a yogic life can help you break that pattern of collapsing. It trains you to understand about your mind and your emotions. And it teaches you that no matter what happens externally, you can change your way of thinking in order for you to adapt and cope. It's about controlling the mind. Make the mind strong, and it will be able to resist pressure, and you'll be able to volunteer suffering. Volunteer suffering is an expression you may not have heard before. What does it mean to volunteer suffering? Volunteer suffering is another term for practicing self-discipline, and it's very important when it comes to recovering from addictions. If you practice self-discipline and don't indulge in every sensual pleasure that takes your fancy, you become a better person. Many of us think that we should get everything we want in life on a golden platter at our feet. So we become spoiled and weak. We become so weak that when a challenge comes, we are too feeble to rise to meet it. So the yogic life trains the mind to become stronger, more balanced, and better able to adapt. Flexible, in other words. We train the body to be flexible, because when it is flexible, it's able to adapt and hold and balance, and that helps the mind also to be strong. The physical asanas are an important aid in building a strong, flexible mind, but there are also mental asanas. You know you have certain thought patterns that are very dangerous. For example, with addictive tendencies, cravings to indulge in their addictions are very dangerous. So you have to train yourself so that when you spot a dangerous thought, you can defend yourself against it. You can say, I'm going to take that thought and throw it out. I'll get a better thought instead so I can balance myself out. I'm not my past habits. In yoga, we use the word samskara a lot. Samskara means impressions, and the mind is full of samskaras or impressions. You could describe them as mental scars that leave such a deep impression in the mind that it's like the mind is full of grooves. Think of an old music record where a needle runs on the groove to make the sound. Sometimes the record gets scratched, so the needle gets stuck, and it keeps repeating a phrase or bit of tune over and over, making a horrible noise. In order to fix it, someone needs to lift the needle and move it to another place. The negative habits or addictions that we have are like scratches in the grooves of our mind, and you get mentally stuck on them. You keep repeating the same thing over and over again, even though it's horrible. But no one else can lift the needle and move it. You have to learn to do that for yourself, and yoga will help you. There are various yogic methods that you can use when the mind is stuck. One is to strive to maintain the presence of mind to keep the mind focusing on the positive things. So then the mind has a chance to move into a positive groove. The mind is extremely powerful, but it can only focus on one thing at a time, one thought at a time. It's very important to understand that. So to keep your mind from falling into repetitive negative patterns, make your mind so focused on positive thoughts that there is no space for a negative thought or negative habit to come in. Another technique is to keep yourself busy, doing things that take you away from your addiction. To keep busy is a very good way to stay out of trouble. Here at the ashram, we keep everyone busy. Sometimes I look at photos taken here, and it's hard to find any pictures of people relaxing, because they are nearly all focusing and working. If you are concentrated on something, your mind won't be wandering. When the mind wanders, it picks up all kinds of influences from out there in the atmosphere. And then you start imagining all kinds of things. What if this happens? And what will happen if not? And you develop all kinds of anxieties and fears. So keep yourself busy. Busy means concentrated, not stressed. In other words, what I'm talking about is the method of conscious concentration of the mind. A good way to concentrate consciously is to use mantra. Mantra are the pure vibrational sounds that invoke the divine. They were given to us by the rishis or the sages of the old times. To think of a mantra means to think of something that will free you. Mantras are wonderful tools to have because the mind cannot go through a moment without thinking of something. So instead of feeding it with all sorts of junk-filled negative thoughts, feed it with mantras instead. Then the mind will become so busy running smoothly on that beautiful mantra groove, it has no chance to slip back into the old addictive scratch. Make sure you keep your mind very concentrated and only let mantra or other positive thoughts in. At the same time, work to purify the old negative thought grooves already spinning round in the subconscious part of your mind. These will surface consciously at some point, and you'll be able to look at them, detach yourself, and let them go. You can say to yourself, "This isn't serving me. It's of no use to me anymore." It is important to stay vigilant, because the moment that you are not able to let go of a negative thought, then you reabsorb it. It just takes one thought. And then everything else that you have built up begins to crumble. So keep working on your mind and empty yourself of everything but positive thoughts. So far, I have mentioned a few methods to help you in your journey to free yourself from addictive habits: detachment and volunteer concentration. Volunteer austerity is another method. Volunteer austerity means carefully limiting the influences you expose yourself to. Influences can come from anywhere, from friends and family, for example. They might encourage you in your addictive habits or spread their negative thinking without even realizing it. Influences can come also from movies, television shows, and literature, or even from adverts or the lyrics of songs. If just one negative thought or addictive craving comes into your mind, it could get stuck there like a weed, and it could sprout and grow a lot of other weeds that take up too much space in your mind, and they will prevent other kinds of positive thoughts coming in. So be wise about who you mix with and how you spend your time. All the methods I have mentioned have to do with the mind, and it's important that you take time to reflect on this. Because you may think that any addictive habits you have are physical, but all addictions are actually rooted in the mind. Remember that the mind is addictive by nature, so you must fight against that nature by developing good mental habits. Keep watching the mind. Don't let it dwell on negative thoughts. Don't identify with your negative thoughts. Remain detached and let them go. And pay attention to influences. Mix with people who think positively and who radiate positivity. And be discriminating in what you think about and how you spend your time. Only give time and mental space to positive thoughts and influences. I mentioned earlier the word samskara, and it's a very important word when it comes to talking about yoga and addictions. As I said, samskara are impressions or mental scars that you carry in your mind. They come from earlier in this life and from past lives. Samskara create karma, and karma is the law of action and reaction, or the law of action and consequence of action. In the case of the mind, the action is the thought. You think something, and then there is a consequence to that thought. Then there is a reaction to that consequence, and so on. That's why thoughts keep bouncing around in your mind, keeping you in the circle of action and reaction with emotional backlashes and negative boomerangs. Your thoughts could just go on reproducing and cause a chain reaction of suffering that repeats itself through the cycle of life and death. These karmic thoughts can make our lives very complicated because we get addicted to them and they cause addictive tendencies. They can make our lives go up and down like we are riding a roller coaster. We have to face these circumstances and deal with those circumstances, and sometimes it's like several different movies are going on at once. Why? Because there are different kinds of karmic situations that need to play out so that we can learn and grow. Karma can be hard to deal with, but it's necessary. But remember, good things happen too, and that's because of positive karma, and it's a consequence of a good thing you have done in the past. The important thing to know and remember constantly is that your journey in life is a positive journey. That means it is an opportunity for you to clear out the negative impressions or samskaras and instead fix your mind on the positive. So every circumstance in life is just like a little challenge that you have to meet and surmount. That's all. So the choice is in your hands. Are you going to choose positive thoughts or are you going to choose negative thoughts? Now, the last method I want to talk about with regard to dealing with the addictive mind is the method of self-surrender, and it works like this. People who have strong addictions know that at some point they won't have the inner strength to resist the addiction, the repetitive negative habit of collapsing and going down the wrong road is so deeply ingrained in their mind and habits. They cannot rely on themselves to heal and become whole again. So this is where the method of self-surrender comes in. It's basically the method of least resistance, or the devotional approach. It's when the addict says, okay, I know I can deal with my mind and I need support, so I'm going to call in the higher power to help me. And what happens is that in your prayers, you surrender your own will and instead ask God's will to come and help you. That way, you open yourself up and link yourself through devotional practice to a higher source of power that is far, far stronger than your mind. It's a bit like a child who is being threatened by a bully. That child is too small to take on the bully himself, So he runs instead to his big brother or sister or to his mother or father and says, "That big boy is going to beat me up, help me." And he hides behind someone who is both bigger than him and bigger than the bully. And the bully sees that he is outmatched and slinks away. It's the same thing with you, your addiction and God. You surrender yourself to the big guy that is God. And the addiction bully knows that he can compete with God and leaves you in peace. So all you have to do is just surrender yourself and then you can just relax. You'll be like the little kitten in the mouth of the mother cat. The kitten's limbs just hang down while the mother cat picks it up and looks after it. You just have to hang there and you know the work will get done. So surrender to God or to the divine or to any power that has more muscle than you. Then you can just relax, knowing that the work will get done. That negative addiction bully is not going to come and bother you anymore. You don't have to do anything. Just relax, surrender, pray, and connect yourself to God. Bring the presence of God into your life, and that's it. You won't have to watch your thoughts and replace this with that, nothing. You just have to remember God. So that's the method of self-surrender, and it's very powerful. Why? Because it's the emotions that get us into trouble in the first place. And by transforming the emotions to devotion, we'll get out of trouble. Human nature is emotional, and we have to replace the emotions with devotion to a concept of something that is higher than ourselves. Yoga has a whole science of bhakti, which is devotional yoga, that teaches you about that higher presence and the names and forms you can use to focus your mind on it. That way you can dwell on that divine presence via name and form. You become so close to the supreme power that it will take you over. So in the beginning, it's like a borrowed force, but later on, it becomes you. Self-surrender can be difficult in the beginning because we have all this resistance at first, but it becomes easier and easier. Self-surrender is at the core of the 12-step system of addiction recovery, and it's one of the most effective methods available in the recovery movement. Here at the ashram, where we have a special yoga of recovery program, we think about this method a lot because addiction is one of the problems plaguing modern life. There are so many different types of addiction, some more destructive than others, and the most effective way to deal with them is the method of self-surrender. Maintaining a state of self-surrender is not always easy because of the ego, so you also have to take action. For example, you have to do self-examination and make amends. To make amends means you have to go back in your mind and in your memory and dig out all the emotional situations where you reacted wrongly and perhaps hurt someone else. If you can, you should go and find the actual person you wronged to ask them for their forgiveness. If that is not possible, ask for forgiveness from the higher power. By doing this, you will be taking responsibility for your life and clearing the path towards behaving differently in the future. Asking for forgiveness and making amends are fundamental in the yoga of recovery so that you can move forward and grow. As always in yoga, addictions and recovery from them come back down to the mind. They have to do with the emotions, with understanding what is negative and positive, and with knowing that our journey in life is a journey towards positivity. Remember that any negative thoughts are only a residue from the past, and you don't have to react negatively when something negative happens. React positively, and that will stop the pattern of creating bad consequences. At the same time, you start to free yourself from the consequences of your past actions and be able, right now, in the present moment, to start creating positive reactions. Use yoga and meditation to slow yourself down and watch yourself, watch your thoughts, watch your mind, and break the old negative patterns as you create new positive ones. Hare Om Tat Sat.